This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with myself, Tass and Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Fiona Newton from Chicks Talking Footy. And we are going to talk some footy a little bit later.
But we're not talking about
that. We're not talking about
that
now. We're talking about
the chaplaincy program.
Yes. And the whole idea, Fiona, that this petition is seeking to provide some space in that program. It's not saying no chaplains.
That's correct.
It's saying let's provide some space in that program for well-trained, well-resourced, non-denominational youth. If that's a fair assessment.
Youth workers. Yeah. Well, at the moment, the federal government is providing $61 million a year to the state education departments. And it's for the chaplaincy program, so for people working in chaplaincy in public schools. The one big condition is that you have to have a religious affiliation. You can't be a secular worker.
No.
And it's that we find, that's completely discriminatory against, as you say, qualified, experienced youth workers that don't have a religious affiliation. The other part of that too is, of course, most of those chaplains are Christians, something like 95%. So it's even not catering to some of the minor religions in this country as well.
It's a franchise dispute.
It is. And what happens is the state education departments, schools apply for this funding, and when it's approved, they have to use a third party.
Oh, what?
A third party provider. So the biggest third party provider is Scripture Union in Australia.
Right.
So it's all kind of
who is
structurally set up so that...
Yeah, who is Scripture Union?
So it's jobs for the collar.
Well, Scripture Union's they're a non-denominational Christian organisation, but they only employ Christian chaplains as a policy and then engage them into schools as well-being support.
Because I'm aware that in the health sector, there is a chaplaincy program, but it's actually moved from chaplaincy to pastoral care.
Mm.
And in fact, there are people who are of a non-denomination who are part of that program that deliver pastoral care services to patients in hospital. Is that the sort of thing that you're looking at?
Yeah, sort of broadening it so that it's really about your qualifications and your experience. And schools should also be free to directly engage whatever supplier or even directly engage chaplains themselves.
Right.
But they don't have a choice. So it's all set up very much with, where religious chaplains are privileged against other people. And it's also thinking about our own community. I mean, as a queer person myself, I can't imagine being at school feeling comfortable going to a religious chaplain about issues about being a lesbian or being a queer person.
You're more likely to go to the school welfare officer or the school psychologist or the school nurse. Tell me, why are you interested in this topic? Where did this come from?
Well, I used to be a pastor in a previous life in the Pentecostal churches. Yes.
I didn't know those.
Yes, I was. I know. I've shocked you all.
That is another story.
No, I knew that. I knew that.
Yes. How long have we got?
How long have we got? Is the show going till 1 o'clock?
A pastor.
I was a pastor. So I'm very familiar with their recruitment strategies, and they particularly... in the churches that I was in that were very much affiliated with Hillsong and the Assemblies of God and those kind of churches, the strategy is to get them while they're young.
Oh, yeah. You know? They learnt that from the Catholics.
Yeah, they learnt that from the Catholics. Not in, hopefully, the same way. But
and so why are you no longer doing that work?
Well, I experienced a lot, you know, really coercive control within those groups. You know, my whole life was controlled. Who I had a relationship with, where I worked, everything was very much controlled. And eventually I just broke out of it and became a raging lesbian atheist.
Oh. Oh, lordy lord.
Lordy lord.
Actually, we'll have to... So, we need to think which order we're going to put that in so we can get an acronym. Whether it's
I don't know where to start, Fiona. This is a side of you that I had no idea about.
Yeah, so I guess, and I also have a 5-year-old son who's starting school literally in 2 days' time. And one of the things that really affected me during the marriage plebiscite was how our kids were attacked.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it was the kids were the vulnerable ones. They were the you know, stolen generation, and they were the ones that were missing out on having a father or whatever it was, and it hurt a lot.
Mm.
And I thought, I want to protect my son from ever hearing perhaps that his mums are going to hell or, you know, any of those kind of messages that come through. So it is very personal to me in that way.
Mm.
So, Fiona, how many signatures have the petition got so far?
So we've started a petition.
Yeah.
So
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the petition, there's a group of parents. So we're located right around the country. There's parents that I've met through this kind of work in WA, Queensland, New South Wales and South Australia. And we all feel very passionate about schools being secular and it being a safe space for everybody. And so we've started a petition called Fund Youth Workers, Not Faith Workers in Public Schools. And it's on change.org. So we started that 2 weeks ago. It's now got 16,000 signatures.
Oh, because last time I looked, it was 11.
Yeah. Well, that must have been a few days ago, Maka.
Oh, yes.
So it's gaining a lot of traction and a lot of support. And I think a lot of people are feeling that there's this real theme going on, not just in schools, but in other areas of our society where religion is being privileged above the rest of us. And I think schools need to be protected.
But it's God's work.
It's God's work. It's, well, you know, you wouldn't advertise these positions as, you know, we're funding white people, we're not funding...
Yes.
You know, imagine that kind of discrimination going on, and it's exactly the same.
So, you know what's also, you know, petitions are very important, Fiona. What's also important is we have a federal election coming up.
We do.
And it's important that people say to the candidate in their seat, if they have a view on this, tell that candidate what their view is and tell them that that will influence their vote.
And can I just say, the Labor Party just pledged this week $440 million for ventilators and wellbeing for students in schools. They haven't mentioned whether that will be expanded.
What's their view on this?
Well, they haven't mentioned anything.
We better ask them, Tess.
Yeah, we need to push them
as
much as the Liberal Party to, because under Labor it did expand to secular workers, and then under Tony Abbott it retracted back to
religious. That's right. Yeah, he pulled it back, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, so we've actually covered this topic a few times. We actually had one of the chaplains come and talk to us once about the work that they were doing.
Yes.
And they had a much more inclusive approach than I had expected back at that time.
But that's that particular person.
That's exactly right.
And we're not saying,
no,
you know, they can't work in schools. We're just saying this needs to not just be.
Yeah, you want to broaden
because
it
you
out.
Have a religious affiliation. It has to be the best person for the job. So if you want to sign this petition, it is on change.org, but if you Google Fund Youth Workers, Not Faith Workers in Public Schools, you will find our petition. I think it's one of the top 10 petitions on change.org, so you probably even find it directly on their website. We have a Facebook page as well with the same name, so you can join
that. Fund Youth Workers, Not Faith Workers.
Yeah, yep. In public schools. So it's you can keep in touch with us, keep up to date with the campaign. We really want parents to be talking to their own principals and their own schools as well.
So what sort of, in a school, what sort of money is involved? There's $61 million nationally. So what sort of money is involved at the local school level? Do you have a sort of a handle on that?
I know that most chaplains within a school, they get funding for something like 12 hours a week.
Okay. So, you know, it's probably $600 or
there's a few thousand chaplains across Australia.
So oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, in schools across Australia. So it's quite extensive.
Mm.
They also do their own fundraising to get more hours. So places like Scripture Union will fundraise.
Mm-hmm.
Their own chaplains will fundraise to get more hours. So Scripture Union will often pay for an extra 10 hours a week, for example.
Okay, okay. And what's been the response from particular schools, Fiona?
Well, I think schools are in an interesting situation. I think schools are under-resourced and underfunded. So they're happy for an extra set of hands. And if it happens to come from there, I don't think principals themselves would be upset with that. But what we're saying is, you know, that's not necessarily the... It's the discriminatory nature of the funding that we have a problem with. So
I think we'll find that schools will be even more under a bit more pressure in the coming weeks and months as they begin to take in students, and we're dealing with this current pandemic.
Mm.
Now, we want to talk about football as well with you.
Oh.
Macca, I'm not sure if you heard Macca's op-ed today, but he talked about a scenario which occurred in Sydney with the Women's Football League and one of the women's football clubs who actually were about to participate in the Pride round by wearing the Pride Guernsey have given a leave pass to one of their members on religious grounds.
Yeah, Hanine Zarika, I think her name was. I was talking about this with a group of friends this morning. And I was listening to what you were saying earlier in the show when I was driving down here too, Macca. It's an interesting message. I think, she's almost... Well, one thing we've got to remember is she's 22 years old, so she's probably been influenced by her family and her religious community to do what she's done. She did play in the Pride round last year.
She did?
Yeah. They didn't have a Guernsey last year. There was no Pride Guernsey. It was just a... They hadn't caught up with that yet. But the other thing, I think, is she's kind of spoken on behalf of the Muslim community instead of saying this is my personal conviction.
Mm.
And I'm worried about what that would say to queer Muslim kids.
Yes.
Because what you're saying by representing a whole community with what you, when you're saying that is, well, we think it's wrong.
And that's not an angle that you actually addressed in your op-ed.
Well, no, it's not, because, you know, for me, it's her colleagues in the team. It's the supporters, and it's the club. And you make a very important point, Fiona, that young Muslims, when they when they hear this, oh, well, okay, you know, I watch her play football and I think that's great, but she won't wear the Pride jumper because, you know, and I'm actually, you know, I'm gay or lesbian or, you know, I'm in the rainbow somewhere. And, you know, I worry about that. And there's already, it's already very difficult. So...
Yeah, and I sort of thought, we actually painted this scenario of what if there was a round that challenged Islamophobia in the AFLW? Would I wear the jumper in support? And I thought I would.
Yeah.
I don't personally believe in that religion. I don't hold those religious beliefs. But I would want to make sure that, you know, there was no discrimination against a particular minority group.
Well, it's a way of actually demonstrating that you are inclusive and welcoming.
Exactly. And I think this stance has kind of said we're not welcome, you know.
Do you think, Fiona, you know, and you're much more in connected with AFLW than I am, obviously. You do a show. What's your feeling, or have you heard anything from the clubs or players? Are you getting any sort of a feeling from within, you know, that big tent that is AFLW?
I haven't heard a lot. I think a lot of people that I have spoken to are quite disappointed. And I also wonder how her teammates have reacted. There are women that play with her that are in lesbian, same-sex relationships. How do they play together and work that out? And
well, I feel uncomfortable for them, and so I can't imagine how they would feel.
Yeah, and there's been some beautiful gestures the other way, like at the Ashes, Usman
Khawaja, with the alcohol.
He wouldn't get up on the platform because they're all shaking champagne and drinking, and they stopped drinking. So they put their bottles down and said sorry, and welcomed him onto the podium to respect his religious beliefs and include him. And I thought that's inclusion.
That was good. Yes. That was really good. I like that.
And you know, that's the kind of gesture. And I think, would it have been that hard for her to do the same for us?
Yeah. Look, I do see it that I want the team to explain, okay, we've given you a leave pass, so what's the next leave pass? What's the next leave pass a player gets?
Mm.
You know, you don't have to wear the jumper that we have agreed to wear for the round. Okay, what's next? The socks, the boots, you know, you're not going to kick a football that's red. Like, what's it going to be? Or, you know, you're not going to, like, what is going to be next? I want to hear from the club as to why they think this is okay. Why they think it's okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the answer to that is, Macca.
Do you think they'll do that?
I did email them.
Mm. You have emailed them?
I have.
Yeah. They did put out a statement, but it was very, I think they were trying to respect her religious beliefs and also keep the round going and celebrate Pride. It's a hard camp to be in. And look, the other side of it is you don't want to force someone to reach.
If she's not comfortable, she shouldn't. But, you know, also you have to say, well, you're part of a team. And, you know, the team doesn't say we only want you to kick points, we want you to kick goals as well. Right? So I think, you know, there's and you're part of a league that is advocating for equality and is playing such an important role in trying to tip the balance back to equality for women. Well, you know, you can't pick and choose on this, I'm sorry. You've got to, you know, if you want to play sport and you want to play women's sport in a league that actually embraces diversity, then you've got to be part of it.
Well, you know, we've got one of our listeners, Mel, has just made an interesting comment and essentially says that there are many examples where there have been males in a range of other sporting codes who have not always agreed with other areas of inclusion, like, for example, kneeling and refusing to do so. So, you know, like, this is not an isolated example, really, is it? It's a pride issue.
But if it's a team decision, right, if the team, you know, makes the decision, right, then you either adhere to it or you don't. Doesn't matter whether it's kneeling, you know, whatever, in my opinion.
Fiona, where do you think this is going to land in a nutshell?
I don't know. I think what do we do when we want to respect religious beliefs, but also those religious beliefs do discriminate? What do we do with that?
You create a religious discrimination bill. That's what you do.
In reverse, yeah.
Mm.
Fiona, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for coming in. And thank you also for that bit of disclosure. And a side of you that I didn't know about that I would love to hear more about, if that's okay with you.
Happy to talk about that all day long.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.